Lot going on in the sports world right now to occupy my time, and I'm sure a lot of other people's time too. Stanley Cup playoffs, they're getting going. Baseball season 2 weeks old now. NBA regular season winding down, and of course last weekend the Masters. Big win for Bubba Watson. Very exciting, the playoff. But the NFL still has its stranglehold on the sports world, and the NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away now. Doesn't matter what team you have, playoff team or a rebuilding team, the draft is a crucial part of the puzzle if you're going to win the Super Bowl. Especially a team like the Vikings right now, you can't whiff on that pick, number three overall. Actually, the Vikings picking high in every round. Very important that the second and third round picks also. Spielman's got to hit home runs with these picks. And one of my sites that I go to look up Vikings mock drafts and other analysis, DailyNorseman.com. Christopher Gates from that website is stepping into the half-assed podcast right now. Christopher, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing great. Enjoying the severe weather in Minnesota right now. It's exciting. We got thunderstorms in the south part of the state and a winter weather advisory in the north part of the state.
That sounds like April.
Yes, it does. NFL draft is coming up in a couple of Thursdays. You excited?
Oh, heck yeah. This is one of the best times of the year. It's like, I don't want to say it's like Christmas. It's more like your birthday, that kind of thing. You get all sorts of new stuff to play with and ooh and ah about. And, you know, we won't know how it works until, you know, August or September. But it's cool to speculate and cool to finally get to the draft and, you know, see who the new guys in town are going to be starting next season.
Especially with everybody having their fantasy league drafts. It's good to have a real-life fantasy league draft that we can watch on TV.
No, totally agree.
All right, so let's go over the rounds here because it's not just the first-round pick that's really important. There's a few other rounds, and you on DailyNorseman.com, you've got the full Vikings mock draft for all seven rounds on there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But went through, looked at some of the sites, some other draft-type sites out there, see where they kind of have guys, you know, stacked on their, what they call the big board, trying to figure out which players might be available at certain spots in the draft and, you know, kind of try to fill in needs. You know, it would take a ridiculous amount of time to try to do all 255 or however many picks there are in this year's draft, but, you know, we can just concentrate on one team. It makes it a little bit easier.
All right. First pick, third overall. Do they draft Khalil? Do they trade down? Or do they do something stupid like take a wide receiver?
To me, Khalil is the only direction that makes sense unless somebody calls them, whether it's Miami or I've even heard Kansas City potentially getting into the mix to trade up to that third spot. But it would have to take a pretty substantial offer. I mean, I've said for, you know, the last month and a half, 2 months, that Khalil is the best non-quarterback in this year's draft. And, you know, with quarterbacks, they're going to be going off the board at 1 and 2. You know, the Vikings are in a position to take the best non-quarterback available, and it just happens to be a position they need a lot of help at. So, like I said, unless somebody completely blows Rick Spielman out of the water with a trade offer, I don't think any of the other players, you know, Justin Blackmon, Morris Claiborne, whoever, make sense at that spot, because Khalil, you know, the gap between Khalil and the next offensive tackle is a lot bigger than the gap between Justin Blackmon and the next wide receiver or Morris Claiborne and the next cornerback. And there's even been some rumblings going around that Blackmon might not be the first receiver off the board anymore because people are starting to get hyped up on a Minnesota native Michael Floyd out of Notre Dame. I mean, I'd be surprised if he went before Blackmon, but that's just something I've been seeing at different places I've been looking at.
This must be a new thing because over the last month or so, I've heard that Matt Khalil was 1A and Riley Reiff from Iowa was 1B, that there was really not that much difference between the two, and that would be the only reason to make a trade down is he could still get Riley Reiff. But you're saying that the difference is a lot more dramatic?
I think the difference is bigger, and keep this in mind that last year the Dallas Cowboys drafted Tyron Smith, a tackle out of USC, same school as Matt Khalil. Tyron Smith went 9th overall, so he was good enough to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, but he wasn't good enough to beat out Matt Khalil to play left tackle at USC. Tyron Smith played right tackle for the Trojans while Matt Khalil stayed on the left side and protected Matt Barkley's back. So, he was good enough to keep a guy who was a top 10 pick away from the left tackle spot at USC. That's why I think he's just that much more talented than all the other non-quarterbacks in this draft.
That's the one thing that really irks me about the draft is that people, the personnel, they look for the potential. They don't look and see what actually happened on a football field. They're looking at the raw talent that they can mold. They don't see him as a football player. They see him as 40 time and his bench presses. They see his athleticism as something they can mold. You know, that guy, it's a great point that you just made. Guy may have physical tools, but if he can't do the job on the field, then how can he have as much value? While we're on the subject of Matt Khalil, a little Vikings trivia for you. Last time the Vikings picked in the top three of the NFL draft.
Last time the Vikings had a pick in the top three must have been back in the 60s, I would think, wasn't it?
1968.
Ron Yeri,
offensive tackle, USC. He worked out pretty good.
Yep, and, you know, there's no reason not to repeat that this time around. I mean, Khalil, we can't go into the season with Charlie Johnson starting a left tackle again, because that will get Christian Ponder or Joe Webb killed. So you take Khalil in that spot, Johnson moves inside to one of the guard spots, you've upgraded two positions with one selection, and you can focus on fixing the rest of the holes from there.
And you know what else? If you look at it statistically over the last decade or so, or two decades, offensive linemen and linebackers traditionally are the safest picks in the first round.
And the thing is about, you know, the other two names that get mentioned are Claiborne and Blackman, as I said before. I mentioned it in one of my other postings. You know, if you're going to be a wide receiver that gets taken in the top three of the NFL draft, you need to be, you know, a Calvin Johnson or a Larry Fitzgerald or that kind of receiver. And that's just not really the kind of vibe I get from Justin Blackman. I think he's talented. I think he's going to be good in the NFL. But, you know, he's not a guy that I see getting to the Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald level of wide receiver.
Yeah, if you take a wide receiver that early, it's hard to have a deep play threat when you have a quarterback that's only going to be open for about 2 seconds before he gets knocked on his butt because there's no adequate offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take offensive linemen at three. I mean, I think you pick Khalil in the Vikings mock draft you have on DailyNorseman.com, and I agree with the Khalil pick. Second round, I've seen a lot of mock drafts, and a lot of people, including you, you've got Reuben Randall of LSU, and a lot of other people are talking about taking maybe Michael Floyd in the second round if he's there, or Alshon Jeffrey of South Carolina.
Well, I don't think Floyd makes it anywhere near the second round. I'd be surprised if he made it out of the first half of the first round. I definitely don't think he makes it past Chicago at 19 if he winds up even lasting that long. I did another posting about Alshon Jeffrey a while back, and I'm not sure if there's a guy at that position that's as polarizing as Jeffrey is. I mean, you look at his highlight reel, and, you know, he's a big guy. He can jump. He has great hands and everything. But he had this off season where apparently he let himself get out of shape. He didn't work out at the combine for whatever reason. There are pictures of him circulating around where it looks like he's got kind of a spare tire thing around his waist from, you know, not working out as intensely. I mean, as far as physical talent, Alshon Jeffrey's got all the talent in the world, but you have to wonder if you can get that talent out of him. If you can be sure that you are going to get that talent out of him, there's no question that he's one of the most talented receivers in this year's draft. But, you know, that's the question, and this is a work ethic and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't mind seeing him necessarily at that pick, but, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of middle ground with him. He's either going to be great or he's going to be a disaster, one way or the other.
I'm not a fan of his. I'm not, after the last two times we took a wide receiver from South Carolina, I don't really want to go down that road again. I know a lot of people are talking about we have to take a wide receiver at number two, but hear me out on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cornerback, Tremaine Johnson of Montana with a 35th pick. He can play safety. He's tall. We can wait until the third round and get Nick Toon out of Wisconsin, who's not a burner, but we don't need a downfield threat. We need a guy that can run crisp routes and catch passes. And Toon's dad, former NFL player, so you know you're getting somebody that they know what to expect. They grew up around the game. Why can't we go cornerback in the second round and then get Nick Toon in the third? Couldn't that work?
And that would be something that would potentially work. And I understand where you're coming from. I mean, Jermaine Johnson's a pretty talented player. I mean, obviously you don't get to the second or the third round of the NFL draft without being talented. Second round, if you're looking corner, I don't know if I want to throw the name out there because the sirens will start going off and the red flags will start popping up. But, there's a pretty good chance that Janoris Jenkins out of North Alabama, by way of the University of Florida, after getting kicked off the team, is going to be there at 35. Now, the stuff that's happened with Chris Cook this past offseason and the end part of last season as well has been well documented.
I was just going to say that. Why would we want to go down that road again?
And, no jail time or anything like that, but you have to wonder if the Vikings would take a shot at a guy like Jenkins after all of the PR disaster that the Cook thing caused this last year.
I wouldn't want to go down that road personally. I'd try to find someone with similar ability that is a little less of a liability off the field. And like I said before, with Jermaine Johnson, he's 6'2". A lot of the other main cornerback prospects are going to go in the first and second rounds. They're all 5'11" or under, because Chris Cook.
I understand where you're coming from. I mean, the one guy that I think I could potentially look at the Vikings trade down in the first round, and I still don't think it's going to happen. But depending on how far they trade down, Drake Kirkpatrick out of Alabama has that kind of size too, and I think he's going to end up in the top half of the first round. But it would all depend on how far the Vikings traded down there. But I can see someone like Jermaine Johnson in the second round. I wouldn't be completely opposed to that, I don't think.
If you look at the Lions game last year where Chris Cook matched up against Calvin Johnson, he did really well against Calvin Johnson in the first quarter, especially when they were playing man coverage on him, when he was jamming him at the line of scrimmage. It's when they went in the second half, they had the lead, and they were playing with that prevent, zone defense that prevents victories.
Uh-huh.
That's when Calvin Johnson went nuts. But Chris Cook showed, I think, with the height especially and his athleticism, that we're going to need tall cornerbacks to combat these receivers, Greg Jennings and Calvin Johnson in particular. That's one of the reasons why I'm big
Brandon
on Jermaine.
Brandon Marshall, now that he's in Chicago as well.
Right, Brandon Marshall. And about Jermaine Johnson, he could play safety. So that's why I was big on him. And I thought that we could move down to the third and get Nick Toon. Because people talk about we need a downfield threat. I think a lot of that is because we hear about, Randy Moss. We remember what happened with Randy Moss. And people are spoiled about Randy Moss. But I think this upcoming season with the Vikings, you know who the downfield threats are going to be on offense? The tight ends.
Probably Kyle Rudolph and
Carlson.
John Carlson, yeah.
You can run the tight ends up the field. That opens up the underneath for Percy, who's a great underneath receiver. He's the burner guy. You want a guy on the other side. I mean, I go back to when Randy Moss was on the team, and Randy Moss wasn't even my favorite wide receiver on the team. I was always big into Chris Carter because Chris Carter, you could depend on Chris Carter to catch anything that's within a country mile of his hands. Ran the best routes on the team, and we need another guy like that, a guy that can move the chains. We got the downfield guys and the tight ends. Percy can be the underneath guy and get the yards after catch, but you get a guy like Nick Toon who's got great hands and he can run routes. I don't want this guy that can run, 40-yard fly pattern in 3 seconds but can't catch anything and can't get open. You got to have a polished wide receiver there. And that's why I think we can address the cornerback slot at 2 and then get the wide receiver at 3.
And the other guy that, in the comments of a lot of these draft posts we've been doing, the guy that a lot of people like to throw out for that second-round pick is the safety out of Notre Dame, Harrison Smith. I understand we need safety help, too, but I'm not entirely sure if, the 35th pick is where Harrison Smith would go. Maybe if we trade it down in the second or acquired another second-round pick somehow, more in the middle of the round, that would be that'd be more accurate. But, yeah, that seems to be a name that a lot of people want to throw out there as well.
Who's the wild card in this? You know how everybody has a player that they're high on the draft boards, whether it's a need or not, but if you find you're in the third or fourth round and that player is still out there, that you pretty much scrap whatever your plan was and you take that player, who do you have as your wild card for the Vikings in this draft? And what round?
Ooh. I think I would have to go with the guy that I put as our third-round pick in the mock draft that we just put together.
Brandon Taylor of LSU?
Brandon Taylor, the safety out of LSU. I mean, if you look at the size, he's not the biggest guy, he's not the fastest guy, but you just look at all of the leadership and all the other intangibles he has, and he was productive, you know, in a secondary at LSU that had the Honey Badger, Matthew, and Morris Claiborne, who's supposed to go on the top 3 to 5 picks of this draft, and he still managed to stand out. I think even going in the third round, he'd be an immediate starter for this team, and I think he would. I think he would be a pretty solid player for us at that spot if we could land him there.
Let me run this wild card player by you.
Mm-hmm.
If we trade down at some point and get an extra third round pick, or at the beginning of the fourth round, if this guy's still there, LaMichael James of Oregon.
See, I could get behind that too, because, you know, Gebhardt and Peterson, I mean, we don't know if we're going to have AP back for week one anyway. The guy says he's going to be back for week one, and I don't doubt the guy, but, you know, you have to wonder if he's going to be the same. And him and Gebhardt are more, you know, just slam it into the line kind of guys and whatnot. I think James would be a nice change of pace option if we can get him in the third or the fourth. I think he'd have an impact. He might even be able to do some return stuff if we wanted to keep Percy Harvin from, you know, wearing down and give him some more snaps on offense. But, yeah, I'd like to get behind that, I think.
Well, Michael James also, something a young quarterback needs is a safety valve. Someone you can dump off to the running back. Well, Michael James was a good receiver at Oregon.
Yes,
so that's a facet of the offense that could really help out Christian Ponder, give him some confidence. He doesn't have to worry about forcing the ball downfield all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the guy's name escapes me. There's a there's a defensive tackle that wound up going to a school in Canada. He got booted off the LSU team for something or another. It'll probably come to me about 5 minutes after we finish. But
always does.
He could be somebody that, you know, could wind up in the fourth or fifth round and be a pretty decent get.
Akeem Hicks.
Yes, Akeem Hicks.
Big Saskatchewan.
6'5", about 320. He was at LSU, so obviously somebody thought he had talent somewhere. He got kicked off the team for something or another. I think somebody said that he took payments to come to LSU, or it was something along those lines. I'd have to look up the whole story.
Yeah, I'm sure, but he was the only one to take payments to go to LSU.
Yeah, but yeah, apparently that's I think he's a guy that could potentially be had later on in the draft and have some potential there as well.
Everybody talks about the three primary needs for the Vikings in this upcoming draft: offensive line, cornerback, and receiver.
Uh-huh.
What other immediate need, do you think has to be addressed early in this draft?
I think they need to find some depth at the linebacker spots. I mean, we don't think E.J. Henderson is coming back. I mean, he's still wandering around out there in free agency. They re-signed Aaron Henderson to a one-year deal. I'm not sure if they're thinking about planning on moving him to the middle linebacker spot. Jasper Brinkley is going to come back from his hip injury that cost him all last season. He's in competition for the middle spot. But on the outside, we don't have a whole lot of depth at the linebacker spot. And if somebody goes down, we're going to be stuck with somebody who should probably primarily be playing special teams at a key outside linebacker spot. So outside of the big three needs, which, as you mentioned, are wide receiver, corner, and offensive line, in whichever order you want to slot those in, I think the depth of the linebacker position is something that needs to be addressed fairly early on as well.
Hopefully we can get as much of this done as possible. I know that the free agent signings, underwhelming to say the least so far. They got a couple of cornerbacks, but that doesn't mean you can't take somebody high in the second round or third round at cornerback, because I don't think Zach Bowman or Chris Carr is really anything more than a stopgap. And wide receiver, like I said, I think you just need somebody solid and dependable that you can put in there, because I think we have the playmakers already.
Yep, and we're going to have not only Chris Cook coming back, but Antoine Winfield, who missed a good chunk of last season. That can only help, considering what the pass defense looked like without him last year. He's getting to be a little bit older. I believe he's 35. He might turn 36 before camp. I can't remember exactly for sure. But, you know, just between him and Cook coming back, our secondary should be at least a little bit better than it was last season. It can't get a whole lot worse, but those two guys should help significantly.
Winfield, if nothing else, will mentor any draft picks, any young players that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you will, because there's a lot of stuff that people could learn from somebody like Antoine Winfield.
All right. Hopefully we won't have a riot on our hands if they take someone other than Matt Khalil. Christopher Gates, DailyNorseman.com. It's a must-read website if you're following the Vikings at this time of year. Christopher, appreciate you joining me. It's been a pleasure to have you on the Half-Ass Podcast.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for having me.